The brain metastasis becomes another issue because now we're doing MRIs all the time and we're finding little things. So now, for example, I just saw a patient today who is a non-small cell and initially was misdiagnosed as a small cell and was given carbo-VP16, and from the very beginning has had two tiny lesions in the brain that in all reports are being said to be most likely metastasis. So now that the pathology has been changed to a neuroendocrine non-small cell type of lung cancer, we're going back to using frontline therapy or therapy for non-small cell. And the question was whether we should treat her with Avastin. And she has had these two lesions for 6 months that all the reports say most likely metastasis.
Treated?
She didn't receive radiotherapy. So these have not moved, whereas the disease in the chest has grown somewhat. It's obviously biologically, the reason the pathology was reviewed is it was not behaving as small cell. And they reviewed it, and actually they went to MD Anderson for review pathology. And now we have confirmed here also, she's been one of these patients that's been around many doctors.
Smoker?
Smoker.
How often do you see a change in diagnosis from small cell to non-small cell?
Not very common. And in generally, the change happens when patients are in small community areas when maybe the pathology is not as good. So anyway, now we have a person who is most likely non-small cell, relatively indolent, got some response with carbo-VP16, and had these two lesions in the brain that all the reports say is probably brain metastasis. So ideally, I would like to treat with carbotaxol Avastin. But obviously, I have the problem with these two brain lesions. And I've told the patient that this is a risk. If something happens, we have to make a decision. Although I see that in discussions we have with the experts, that I think we're starting to be more relaxed regarding brain metastasis. There's a lot of information on gliomas treated with Avastin, no bleeding. There's very little heard about bleedings in the brain with Avastin in people that we didn't see the metastasis, something happened. So I think people start to be more relaxed about it, but still, it's hard.
Have you done it yet?
I've done in patients where we have had a resection or the two lesions have been treated with radiosurgery or we have done something previously to the lesions, with the patient understanding that there might be a slight more risk of bleeding, you know. I have found that most patients, when they are given the objective data, they don't have a problem to sign for Avastin. I haven't had people that say, I don't want this because I'm scared of having massive hemoptysis. So I think that now the other thing is whether how many people qualify or meet the criteria for that. If you go very strict and look at the eligibility criteria, 4599, well, then you're going to find you have to have a PS of 0 to 1 and no hemoptysis, etc. And then when we have seen some retrospective analysis on the elderly that doesn't look as good. So if you are negative about it, there are always reasons not to give it. And then that type of physician will give it or will say that only 10 or 20% of his patients qualify. Somebody who is enthusiastic about it will say 67%. I think the number is probably 30 to 40% qualified. But that leaves 60% of patients frontline that still are going to be on chemo alone, you know.